the first thing we'll discuss is really kind of a theme of Dvarim last week. The big thing we started discussing last week is we have this mitzvah of shofar, and right off the bat, the question is the mitzvah of shofar to blow the shofar, or is it to hear the shofar? Right? There are two acts. Is the blowing and is the hearing? So you might want to argue it's both. Could be. And maybe I haven't seen a Rishon who says that mafurish. But we did see Rishonim last week who actually argued if the mitzvah was to blow or to hear. The Rambam says mafurish. The mitzvah is to hear the shofar. Shmoa, kol shofar. And the Smag says mafurish. The mitzvah is to blow the shofar. It's kol b'shofar. Okay? So one big nafkamina which we started discussing was a big nafkamina we may come into play, or at least the Rambam feels it comes into play, is what would happen with the shofar ha-guzzle. Okay, so the Rambam, we'll read this halacha. Let's start off by reading halacha, the source number one, which is the Rambam, Hilchos Shofar, Perek Aleph, Halacha Gimel. And he kind of basically, the Rambam's one halacha sums up the entire blat. So we'll just quickly read through it anyhow. So Shofar Shalavot Azara, Ein Token Bo Chatkhiwa. Zimtaka Ba Yasa. You should not blow the Shofar Vod Azara, Chatkhiwa, but Yotze if you do. Okay? Just as let me read the next line, I'll just come up with a couple of small ideas. Next line is Asher Ir Nidachas in Takabaloyas. Ir Nidachas, you know, is a city which is a city full of Avodah Zarah, so you have to destroy the whole city. So when it comes to an individual Avodah Zarah, then you're Yotze with the shofar. When it comes to Ir Nidachas, you're not Yotze. Now, just a couple of small ideas. Or the basic difference is that the shofar of Ir Nidachas, the Gemara tells us, is Kitusei Michta Shura. Basically, what it means is that something of Ir Nidachas has no shear, has no amount to it. It's as though it doesn't exist. Because it's omid l'sarv, it's basically already destined to be destroyed. So if it's destined to be destroyed, it has no value to it right away. Okay? And as we know, a shofar needs a shear, needs a measurement, needs an amount. Therefore, if the shofar needs a measurement, it's omid l'sarv, it's as though it doesn't exist.
Or it's like it's pauperized.
Right? Yeah, exactly, right. Omid l'sarv kesarv dami, right? Omid l'batel kebatel dami, right?
Someone has a gemara din for chad misa.
What's that? Is that true?
Yeah.
No, it's somebody who's chayim misa. Could you count it for a minion? Huh? I never knew that. Is it a gemara somewhere?
Yeah.
It is. Okay. Well, if you can find that word, that's interesting. That's an interesting idea. Shkaya. So by the shofar of Zara, there's a concept that you could be mavatel shofar of Zara. Now, you could take a guy's Avodah Zarah. They're different now. Avodah Zarah of a Yid, maybe not so simple. They call it a Sherid the Moshe. But Avodah Zarah of a guy, in theory, you could be Mavatel it and make it into Oysa Avodah Zarah. It's no longer Avodah Zarah. And therefore, the Rambam says, it's your Yose, but you shouldn't use it. And obviously, the Rishonim say it's a Dover Mos. It's obviously the terror, a disgusting thing to use a Shofar of Avodah Zarah. Then the Rambam goes right there and says, Shofar HaGazel should talk about Yasa. Right? And we know that then by, let's say, Lulav HaGazel Lo Yasa. But you contrast that, Shofar HaGazel Yor Yosei. Why? So here the Rambam spells out. She'ein HaMitzvah B'Shmiyas HaKol. Because the mitzvah of Shofar is to hear the sound of the Shofar. Af B'Shon Naga Bav Lo Yibiyah Shomei Yasa. And you know, Shomei doesn't have, not Lulav, where you have, it seems like he's almost directly contrasting. And unlike Lulav, where you have to actually hold, you have to hold it, you have to touch it. Here you have no shy, really somebody has no shy. Person goes whole life without touching a shofar, and just by hearing it, and be able to the mitzvah. The ain b'kol din gezel. So there's no gezel when it comes to the sound. What you're stealing is the shofar. You're not stealing the voice, the sound. This is a very, very important Rambam, because from this Rambam, I think Reb Chaim wanted to illustrate what is the sheet of the Rambam when it comes to mitzvah bav avera. Because you say, mitzvah bav avera, like for lulav ha-gazel, the mitzvah bav avera, right? Mitzvah lulav ha-gazel, you can't use. There's the first day of Sukkot, you can't use the lulav ha-gazel because it's not yours. Lachem, lachasim, lachem. But the rest of the week, the Rambam, the Gemara says, because it's lulav ha-gazel, right? So what's the difference? So what the pshat seems to be in the Rambam is the definition of lulav ha-gazel is that the chefs of the mitzvah. Not the mitzvah avera. Thank you. Well, the definition of mitzvah avera is the chefs of the mitzvah, not the avera. It doesn't just mean that a mitzvah and avera coincide. It means that you did an avera, it's the chefs of the mitzvah. So what's the chefs of the mitzvah here? It's the kol. Therefore, you can't steal the kol. What about the shofar? Shofar is not the chefs of the mitzvah. So here you clearly see the Rambam Shita is that the mitzvah is the shmiya, not the tekiah. Because the chora, if they would have held the mitzvah was the tekiah, the blowing, so then the chefs of the mitzvah would have been the shofar. And if you steal a shofar, you'd not be Yosei.
What about if the shofar is blown by a cotton?
Oh, so then you start asking all these questions. We let off last week. You can start asking all these different questions. Why then, what about if a cheresh or the cotton blows? Or if the mitzvah is to hear, not to be tokea, what's the difference? Pshat is, the mitzvah, probably the pshat is going to be, right? Is that what I was saying? Is that the mitzvah is to hear, right? The mitzvah is to hear, but you have to hear a bona fide kol. A kol is defined by a chiyuv abos. What are you going to do? Exactly. Okay? We'll stop here for a moment in the round. We'll come back to him. He discusses Ola and other and Moder Hanah. We'll stop here for 1 second. The Raivid, by the way, just to look at the second to last line of source number one. The Raivid quotes around the Imbakol Din Gezel. I'm a bro, I feel, yeah, Bo Din Gezel, even if it was stolen, doesn't matter. Yom Shua Yocham Mikol Makom. So Yom Shua, no matter how you hear the Shua Yote. So Rabbi doesn't want to say, says the Rambam really, we'll see what the Rabbi is referring to as Yerushalmi, which the Ritva is going to discuss. But the point of the Rabbi is you don't have to get to the Rambam's reason. The Rambam doesn't have to make excuses why it's not mitzvah ba'aveir here. You'd be okay regardless.
Sorry, I don't think you finished. What did you say about Moshe? Did he hold that mitzvah shavaveir is only applied to things that have a chesed
shal mitzvah? Moshe?
I was saying
Reb Chaim. I was saying the same thing, though. Right? So Reb Chaim held, mitzvah b'aveira, with the definition according to the Rambam at least, is the chefzah shel mitzvah nasa b'aveira. For example, this is the big source, I think I mentioned this last year, I was mentioning again, the big source is Yerushalmi. Right? Let's say a person unfortunately has a death in the immediate family. That's a ter kriya. Right? Gemara says if you ter kriya for a relative, even though it's korea, but since it's for the purpose of mitzvah kriya, chayim misa. So what happens if a person finds out their parent died in Shabbos, right? And they tear kriya on Shabbos. Yerushalmi says the guy is chayim misa, but the good news is he's yosi the mitzvah of kriya. Ah, mitzvah baba vera. See, the pshat isn't that you're doing the mitzvah at the same time. The pshat is that the chetz of the mitzvah, and then he brings his ramah. This ramah is very, very important also to develop a shita. Now you see the pshat of mitzvah baba vera is the chetz of the mitzvah, not the vera. It's a stolen chetz of mitzvah.
Yeah,
okay. This is a Meister Kriya.
And like,
now, if you stole, let's say you stole a shirt, that'd be interesting to ask me. I don't know what would be the din if, let's say, you stole a shirt and did Kriya. So there, maybe the shirt's a Chetzer Shel Mitzvah.
I thought it was a much, much bigger category.
So let's see the Ritzvah. The Ritzvah does also. Chetzer is an object. In other words, the simple translation of chetzer means the object. So is there an object of a mitzvah here? So if I said to you, by lulav, is there an object of a mitzvah? Clearly, yes, the lulav is an object of a mitzvah. By shofar, what's the object of the mitzvah? What is the if anybody has a better language for this, I'd appreciate it. What?
The medium?
Okay. I have to think about that, but
well,
that's exactly the point. By shofar, the medium, assuming that's the right word, we'll go with that for a minute. By shofar, the medium is the sound, not the horn, not the shofar, not, right? So the sound can't be, in theory, if you could steal a sound, right, maybe copyright, maybe different nowadays, but if you could steal a sound, right, you would have, that would be the medium, and then it would be apostle. You wouldn't be yotze. But chetzer really means the object of the mitzvah. By shofar, you have to pinpoint what's the object. By shofar, the object in the mitzvah is the sound, according to the Rambam. Because once again, the Rambam holds the mitzvah of shofar to hear, not to blow. If you held the mitzvah to blow, I'm going on a limb here, but I think it's probably pretty simple. If you held the mitzvah to blow, then what would be the medium, or what would the chetzah, what would the object in the mitzvah be? The shofar. And therefore, the Rambam would say, if you hold the mitzvah to blow, probably you would not be yosei. Alright? Let's see the Ritva. We'll see if we can do the whole thing inside, but the Ritva, this is actually going to have a lot, as usual, of Ritvas this tonight. So the Ritva quotes the Rambam, source number two. And the Ritva says, U'inyan shofar ha-gazol hiter Rambam. He says, I acknowledge that the Rambam was matirit. Let's skip so we can cover more ground tonight. And he goes through the whole Yerushalmi, and he quotes different reasons why Yerushalmi allows a shofar gazol. But then he says, and if we skip down, 6 lines from the bottom of the Ritva, where the last word in the line is Aval. Okay? So he quotes Yerushalmi, and Yerushalmi discusses different reasons why you would think the shofar would be a stolen shofar would be possible, and the Yerushalmi addresses them to kind of ward off any concerns. Then he says, Avalakati Iko Yisura Achrina. But there's still another Isser. The Iko Mitzal Baba Veir. He goes, wait a second. We're using a stolen shofar. There's a problem Mitzal Baba Veir here. Okay? Kedin Lulav, the Mitzal Maritima. Just like Lulav. Okay? B'yom Sheni. The Lulav Be'in and Lachem. Right? The rest of the Sukkah, as we just said, the rest of the Sukkah, there's no Din Lachem. And still you can't be Yosei B'shol, you Yosei with a borrowed Lulav the rest of the Sukkah. But nevertheless, you're not Yosei the Mitzal of the rest of the Sukkah with a stolen Lulav, because the Mitzal Baba Veir. Okay? And then he says, Sha'afal Pisha Bakola Hu Yotze, even though he acknowledges the words of the Rambam, even though you hear the sound, nevertheless, Mitzvah Baba Veirhi. And then he throws an interesting sentence. Ubamay Yisrasa Zel Adonav Biyom Hadin. He goes, think about what we're doing here. We're blowing a stolen shofar. The point of shofar is to be appeased or bone shol. Right? We're doing, using a stolen shofar here. Now, I don't know how much he incorporates this into the halacha, but he throws that sentence. I'll explain in a moment perhaps why he explains that, use that sentence. But then he says, it would be Rishalmi, the Lochai Yeshua. How come the Rishalmi didn't say it's a problem with the Bevera? Mishum, the Lochai Yeshua name, Rachi, weren't concerned about it. Why? Because then he makes a split here. Ela begazol shenasa bohu atzmo avera b'siyu ha-mitzvah. Okay, you have to think about what these words are. Ela begazol, something that's stolen. Shenasa bohu atzmo avera b'siyu ha-mitzvah. I think what he's trying to say is like this. And I know Sarai and I discussed a little bit. Sarai understood it the same way also. In order for something to become a stolen object, you have to do something to the object. So if you go over, you steal somebody's shofar that was never used for a shofar before, and you go ahead and you blow it, right? You blow it for the mitzvah of shofar. That's making it into stolen goods. So that's what he's saying. Let's read those words again. I should have underlined them. El begazel shenasa bu atzma avera b'siyu ha-mitzvah. You're doing the avera of gezela. Shenasa bu atzma avera. You're doing the avera of gezela b'siyu ha-mitzvah. Because you're blowing the shofar, we're not learning the status of Baba Kama now, but I think it's a pretty simple concept, that because you're blowing the shofar, you're now being over the avera of gezela. Okay? The mitzvah have yeshini rishus. Because what's the mitzvah of blowing you doing? It's creating a shini rishus, or shini hashem. You're changing it from a horn to a shofar. It went from just being a random, mundane horn, now to like a tashmish kedusha, into something that's used for a mitzvah, tashmish mitzvah. You're kind of be used for shini rishus. Okay? Hilgav, therefore, shofar ha-gazol pasul v'ashol kasher. Therefore, a stolen shofar is pasul, but a bar is okay. But then he goes on, which is one more line, and then we'll just discuss it if you guys want. He says, "Vegazel shekano biyush v'shini Hashem karoi kodem mitzvah." So let's say you change it. Let's say first you stole the horn, then you did something to it, and the Bailam gave up on it. They were misyayish, right? And then you blew it as a mitzvah. Kodem. So then leikem v'shum mitzvah above avera. So in a way, Jeremy was saying, right, the Rambam is very, very narrow terms. The Ritva would seem to have a different, an additional concept of Mitzvah B'Avera. Mitzvah B'Avera would mean that you accomplish the Avera by doing the Mitzvah. This is a perfect example. Right? When is something stolen goods? When you do something to impact the item. Right? So how do you impact the item? You take a random horn and you turn it into a Mitzvah. You bring it to Shul and the whole Shul hears it. So because you're doing the Mitzvah, you're now turning into stolen goods. So let's say I walked into Shomrei, right? This shofar's been here for 10 years. I take the shofar, I go home in Rosh Hashanah, I steal the shofar, go in Rosh Hashanah and blow it. Then the ritual would say, it's not mitzvah b'avera. Because A, the Rambam is right. Seems to be that he agrees with the Rambam that the mitzvah is the shmir and it's the chesed shokol. And also, it's already been a shofar. It's not that you blowing it are contributing to the avera. That would probably be an afkmina. So we have like this. The Rambam seems to say there's never mitzvah above avera. He doesn't make the chiluk that the Ritva is making. I would assume he disagrees with the Ritva. The Ritva says it depends on the circumstances. Whether the mitzvah created the avera or the avera was already created. I'm not saying I can explain this kind of thing, but are you understand where the Ritva is going with this? We may need more Baba Kama ideas for this. In other words, let's assume that for something to become stolen goods, for you to be a Ghana, for you to be a Gazlan, you have to do a Shini Hashem, a Shini Rishus. So if the shofar is what's doing the Shini Hashem, a Shini Rishus, then a mitzvah above Avera. Okay, it's your mitzvah creating the Avera. But if it's already been stolen, if it's already been a shofar, before, and it's not that the mitzvah of the shofar is creating the avera, then the Ritva would probably agree that there's no problem with the avera. So it really depends on the circumstances.
Or if it had already been stolen.
Yeah, exactly. It's already stolen. Yeah. It already had a shame stolen. Already was had already satisfied all the elements of stolen goods. You hear the concept, Luis? What?
I'm having a hard time, Grant. But I go
okay.
Ahead.
Okay.
So that he would say, it sounds like according to that definition of mitzvah avir veira, that tearing kriya on Shabbos, you would not be.
That's very good. Yep, yep. Now, it's interesting. I think you're right. In other words, just because Yerushalmi says it doesn't necessarily mean the Rishon has to accept it. What's interesting is Yerushalmi, you may want to tie, say Yerushalmi with Shitasam. In other words, well, Jeremy's saying a great point. Yerushalmi would quote it that if you're Korea and you're Mason Shabbos, you're Yotze the Korea. Ah, Mitzvah Laver, or Chaim says no. You know, Cheftish Mitzvah. Right? The Yerushalmi also says Mefurish, that a stolen shofar is fine. The Ritva goes and says, wait a second, the Rishalmi didn't address a couple of important points. It could be the Rishalmi doesn't agree with the Ritva, and it could be the Ritva doesn't agree with the Rishalmi. It could be the Ritva would say that exactly what you're saying. The Ritva would say that if you tear Kriya on Shabbos, and through the mitzvah of Kriya, if air happens, right, you're not Yotze. So it could be, you're right, it could be it's almost like Yerushalmi versus the Rishonim and the Babli. According to, that's a great point.
So you didn't, it nullifies the Kriya.
The Rishonim says it does not, but Jeremy suggests that according to the Ritva, it should.
You should.
Yeah. So it could be, now you ask, how come the Rishonim didn't say what the Ritva is saying by a stolen shofar? Because maybe the Rishonim doesn't agree with the Ritva by a stolen shofar. Maybe the Rambam, you could say this, maybe the Cheftishal mitzvah concept, that mitzvah of Aver is only by a Cheftishal mitzvah, may be the Rambam understanding of Rishalmi, and maybe the Rambam holds the Babli holds like that also, but other Rishonim may say no, that may be the Rishalmi Shita, but maybe others disagree.
You've still done a Kriya. I mean, you don't have the mitzvah Kriya, but you've still done an Aveira.
Well, the Rishalmi says you're Chayim Mitzvah for Kriya, but you're also the guy in the mitzvah.
I hear your argument.
Jeremy's saying you're Chayim Mitzvah, but you're probably also not Mekai in the mitzvah. In that case, maybe you're not Chayim Mitzvah, because if you're not Mekai in the mitzvah, okay, it's almost like a cycle.
It's kilkul.
Right, it's kilkul. Then if it's kilkul, then why is the mitzvah over there? Ooh, boy. Okay. So, that's a cycle, right? Once we do that, we can resolve the chicken and the egg, right?
Oh, that's easy.
Oh.
I can explain that.
Okay. Fine. Okay, so, should we move on? Next topic? Next topic. So, The Mishnah on Daf Chav Zayin discussed the case if somebody blows into, let's say, a pit. Somebody blows into a pit, and it depends if you hear the sound of the shofar, Yotze. If you hear the echo, you're not Yotze. Then Rabba, the top of Daf Chav Chesam and Aleph, Rabba has, and the Gemara is clarifying. Rabba is talking about basically what happens is you started blowing, and as you're inside the pit, and then you kind of climb up, and you hear the sound the whole time. The point is, you got to hear the sound the whole time, right? That's about the bottom for the Gemara. That if you hear the sound the whole time, it's fine. If you hear the echo, it's not okay. Now, what the interesting question would be is let's just say we haven't actually that on the Gimel is when we're going to actually discuss. I think how long the tekiah has to be, and there's actually going to be a big machlokas how long the tekiah has to be. Let's just assume for now, which is how we paskin, a tekiah has to be 9 shrumitin. You're going to see that language in the Gemara later. Trumita is like that. So it's key. If you see someone who's going to see, let's say, the Makri, go like that, right? Because he wants to make sure they're blowing 9 Trumita. Okay? Let's assume, I don't exactly know what the word Trumit means, but I think it means a sound. So 9 minimal sound. That's how long the key has to be. Okay? So what happens, let's say, if you hear the proper length of a tekiah. So the shear of a tekiah is 9 shrumitin. You heard 9, a guy blows 15 shrumitin. So you heard 9 shrumitin, and then only after 9 shrumitin did the echo kick in. Okay? So it's not clear from the Gemara. The Gemara talks about, im kol yatsa yotze, im kol avara, im kol shobar yatsa shama yotze, im kol avara, if you hear the echo, you're not yotze. But what happens if the havara kicked in after you already heard the sufficient shear? Ever hear the question? The Gemara doesn't address that question. So, So if you look in source number 3, again, it's the Ritva also. Let's look in the middle of the first line. Hiksha Ramban. Okay, V'dilma leka shiur tekiya mikami del arbiv. He goes, maybe he's asking the opposite direction. He's saying that how do you know, he's addressing our issue. He's saying, how do you know when the echo kicked in? Okay, now he says something interesting. He says, V'tirates, the efshar midalok tani im kol ha-barahu, doesn't say if the what he heard was an echo. V'ktani shama, right, rather he heard. Now this, he says this, shim shama kol ha-barah, afilu basof, if you hear any sort of an echo, even at the end, la'achar shir tekiya, lo yatsa. He says like this, the guy blew 20 trumitin. You heard your 10 trumitin. You heard your shir, your yotze. If the guy would have stopped right there, it would have been fine. But before the guy had a chance to stop, but kol habar, the echo kicked in. Lo yatsa. Very interesting, right? That's the Ramban Shita. And then the Ramban quotes another, and then the Ritva quotes another opinion. Inami kimlan, do ma'arbiv kal debar, el achar shir tekiya. He says, no, the other approach is that it's not a problem. The other approach is that after we assume that the echo does not kick in until you've heard the sufficient shear, meaning, as long as you heard the sufficient shear, you're okay. So the machlokas we've shown him here, again, if a person blows a long tekiya, you heard the 9 shemitim there necessary, and then the echo kicked in if you're yotzer not. Ramban says no, other rishonim say yes. Okay? Let's skip to source number 4 for a moment. It's actually, this machlokas is actually quoted in the Shulchan Aruch.
Sorry, before you continue, yeah. You said our Gemara doesn't quite deal with it, but it sort of deals with it by analogy, like with the whole. I guess you sort of addressed this at the beginning, but you wouldn't think that the Betoch HaBor and then Al Sfas HaBor Yatza is kind of the same case.
In other words, he was going, and you see by the way, the Gemara in Halim, since he went up with it, maybe he didn't hear.
Right.
But we don't know what the circumstances.
Yeah.
I'm going to show you a fascinating sheet in a minute in the Ritva. We don't really know what the Ukimta is. What did the person hear before he didn't hear?
Right, but then there's the case where he hears the bad thing comes at the beginning and the bad thing comes at the end.
Yes.
And it seems like it's more clear that if the bad thing comes at the end, then he is Yotze.
What did he hear though? What did he is that Lamaskana, by the way?
Well, it's
Shama Kiyos. You're talking about the Gemara says Shama Sofkiya Blot Kiyos Kiyah. We don't pass you like that.
I know, but it's not the Gemara, as far as I can tell, didn't really leave it clear at the end.
Right.
It said Lememra.
Right.
Really trying to say, which sounds like it's rejecting it, but it didn't really seem like it was rejecting that whole idea. It was just rejecting if you hear the bad part at the beginning,
right,
then it would say, well, that's like a little too messed up, but it still left the door open for the good part at the beginning being okay. I guess it's
okay.
Clear enough.
Okay, you could be right. It seems like let's read Sif Gimel. Let's read source number 4. I quote 2 Sifim, but let's skip to Sif Gimel. Hashomea mixas tekiya. If a person hears the beginning of a tekiya, shelo b'chiyuv u'mixasa b'chiyuv. This could be any number of cases. One case could be you heard the beginning before Los Hashachar, and there's no mitzvah to hear a shofar, right? And then you heard the second half after Los Hashachar, right? But it could be other cases also. It could be the case where you heard the beginning. Let's say you were outside the bar. Right, so for you it was an echo. So you heard the beginning of the key of being outside the bar, then you jumped in. Right, so you heard the beginning of Shul B'chiyuv, Mikzas B'chiyuv. Osha Amr Lo Tokea Kimis Asik, Kivan Lo Tieni De Chavasi. Sorry about all these little letters in there. I should delete them, I'm sorry. V'tako Moshe B'chiyuv, Tekia, Lo Yasa. So in that case, if you heard the beginning of the Tekia, and then you didn't hear the end of the Tekia, Lo Yasa. V'yesh Amrim Shiyasa, I'ika Shir Tekia B'chiyuv. Other opinions say, no, wait a second, it depends. If you heard your 9 required shemitin, then who cares if at the end you didn't hear it? In other words, let's say the person started blowing before Olos HaShachar. Or let's say you were outside the bar, and the guy blew a long tekiya, and then you jumped in the middle and you heard the last 9 shemitin. Or the opposite, you were in the bar for the first 9 shemitin, and you jumped out. So you're yotze. Okay? So again, the Shomrim, some people hold that you are Yotze. The same machlokas you saw in the Ritva is actually a machlokas in the Shulchan Aruch. Okay? Fine. And the Ramah says, V'hu adinim shamu mixas atkiya kol avara. That's the case of the echo, right? You hear some of it's an echo. Gon shayot tekev abar, v'hu omeid. Okay? So same case. Fine. So let's skip the... you know what? I just really got messed up here. If you skip down to source number 5, Bu Omed, the it should have been something got wrong in the process here. Bu Omed Be'emtzat Ki Yatzel Chutz. That's the case of Rama, right? You start in the middle and then you came out in the middle. Fine, and in the middle. So once again, the same machlokes is a machlokes. Fine. Just to skip in the Mishnah Berurah in source number 5, we can read what I underlined here. You see in source number 5 I underlined? He's explaining the Shita that says that even if you heard the first 9 Shemitim but didn't hear it, but the rest was an echo, you're not Yotze. He says, the Ba'inan Shmias Kol Shofar Kasher Mitzchilo Vatzof. Because you're required to hear Shmias Kol Shofar from the beginning to the end. That's the end. So, right? I said it 3 or 4 times. I'll say it one more time. Some Shitas hold, even though you heard your 9 Shemitim and then you heard an echo, you're not Yotze. Mishnah Berurah says, why? Because you're required to hear Shmias Kol Shofar Kasher from the beginning to the end. So I got to ask ourselves, just to try to figure out, what are they arguing about? How come some Rishonim feel that it's okay to hear, as long as you hear your 9 Shemitim and your Yotze, even if there was an echo kicked in later, you don't have to hear the whole Tekiah? And how come other Rishonim feel that, no, if you hear 9 Shemitim, it doesn't matter. If you heard some echo and you didn't hear the whole Tekiah beautifully, you're not Yotze. What are they arguing about? I gave it some thought. If anybody else wants to suggest, I'd love to hear, but... I'll do one more thing. There are two. I tried to compare it to other mitzvahs. So what I came up with is like this. Tried to compare it to Masa and Esrog. Let's just take those two examples. Without analyzing them too well, we'll just think about them. Let's say, for example, we had a big Masa. You had a big Masa. And somebody and had a situation somehow where half the Masa was maybe Matzah Shmura. Half the Masa wasn't Matzah Shmura. Right? There's a mitzvah to eat Matzah Shmura the first night, according to Meir Rishona. So let's say you had a whole Masa. A kezayis, more than a kezayis, were 2 kezayis and big. A kezayis and a quarter were shmura, 3/4 of a kezayis was in shmura, right? And I ate my kezayis and a quarter. Is somebody going to tell me I wasn't yotzei the matzah shmura because part of it wasn't shomer? Probably not, right? I can't see why somebody would do that, okay? You take an esrog, let's say, and the esrog, let's say, has to be, I think it has to be a kezayis. I'm not sure. You take an esrog that... Okay, base, yeah? Okay. Well, you know, I should have analyzed a little better. But let me also, I'm going to limit another thing here. Let's say you have a part of an esrog. It's big enough to meet, to match the shear, but it's not whole. Mayote? I don't think so, right? So those are the two mitzvahs I was able to compare it to. So it seems like maybe some are showing look at one way, and others showing look at another way. So what are you going to do? So I'll tell you what I was thinking. I guess it's kind of along the same, because we're definitely not going to explain, give too much meat to understanding the mitzvah. We're just going to really look at the what. What are we looking at here? So the chakira I was thinking about saying, and I'll develop it as we're speaking, is when you talk about a sheer tekiah, you talk about the required length of a tekiah, 9 shemitah. Is that going to be the hagdara of the mitzvah? Or is that going to give you the hagdara of the tekiah? Okay? Let me explain a little better what I'm trying to say. But those are two words I'm thinking about. Because what I'm trying to say is like this. If 9 shemitim is the minimal shear of the mitzvah, okay? So what we're really saying here is that maybe give me a minute here. Hold on 1 second. Maybe else when I throw something out to try to explain this machlokes there? Just give me 1 second. If the 9 Shemitim is the Hagdara of the Tekiah, then you heard a Tekiah. In other words, is the 9 telling us what the minimal amount of is the Mekayin the Mitzvah, but then you still have to hear the entire Tekiah? Or is the 9 Shemitim just what is defining the Tekiah? So once you heard the 9 Shemitim, you heard the Tekiah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, to whether you have a complete entity or not. Whether
right.
The sheer plus to have a whole, like the matzah example.
Right.
If you took a giant matzah and broke it in half and gave somebody the half of it, I don't know, usually I would think like that maybe that wouldn't be so good, like you don't have a broken piece of matzah or something like
right.
that, even though it's huge. So it's a broken piece of matzah, so this is also a broken tekiah.
Well, by matzah you probably would be yotze. If you had a broken piece of matzah, yeah, because that actually would be yotze.
The broken right. Matzah.
In other words, it's the nine.
You have requirements on the shape of it, so that's not really analogous.
When the Torah tells, when the halacha says you got to have a nine shremitin tekiah, length, is that just basically saying if you don't hear nine shremitin, you've done nothing, right? But it's not defining what a tekiah is. A tekiah is the entire length of what the person blows, right? Now, if a person blew 100 shremitin or a person blew 9, that is a tekiah. If you blew 8, you simply haven't blown a tekiah. You haven't been kind of mitzvah. But if the mitzvah is here, 9 shremitin, you've heard the mitzvah already. Okay? Am I saying anything? I don't know.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Wait, the matzah thing, I know it's off topic, but right. You really be able to take like a matzah out of your box and not the end
all. Yeah, let's say like a mishnah, but you know, like a mishnah is like a separate thing, but you be yotzei matzah, sure.
You eat a whole matzah?
Not necessarily, but I always thought that, you know, when you make a bracha on lotzi,
no, but you know, let's say Shabbos, you have Blacha Mishnah. So if you don't have Blacha Mishnah, you shouldn't make a motzi? Of course you should.
You make it on 2 slices of bread.
Right. Same thing. There's no mitzvah to eat a matzah shleima. I mean, I'm sure there are mitzvahs, but the basic mitzvah of Erev Tochu Matzah is to eat a kazayis matzah. So the 9 shrumitah.
You, the people at the table would get upset at you if you took your matzahs like that had nibbles.
Yeah. That's very interesting. So that, actually, the Mishnah Berurah, we don't have to read inside, but he basically takes this opportunity at the end of source 5 to start giving mussar. You have to be careful not to start making all sorts of noises, you know, that kind of stuff during the shofar, because even though people may hear the 9 shemitah, they may not hear a baby, and then he gets into the babies crying. He talks about whether you should bring the people to shul, kids to shul, not bring them to shul. He uses the opportunity here, based on the way we paskin, that it's not enough just to hear the 9 shemitah, but you have to hear the entire blowing. Because the 9 shemitah, all it's telling you is that's the minimum. But it's not defining, I think we're saying something decent actually. 9 shemitah is the minimum, it's not defining what a tekiah is. A tekiah is a tekiah. As opposed to the other sheet holds, you are yotzei, because the 9 is defining what a tekiah is. Not bad, I think. You know, not bad. Okay. Not great, but not bad. All right, fine. So, that's that. Now, just to go back to the ritual for one moment, if you go back to source number 3, this is a fascinating chat. You see where I underlined V'yesh Mepharshim? Source number 3? Yeah. V'yesh Mepharshim, the hashta Sabrina, the Rava, or Rabba, depends, the Machshir B'mikzah Tekiah, Rabba holds it's okay to do a partial tekiah. Came into either chavishas chiyuv achrin. Since there are other people who could hear it, afilu she'em b'mashis shama kashir. Even though I didn't hear the whole thing, v'hainu mikzas tekiah dekamar kolor mikzas shir tekiah. So the Ritva says there's one opinion that says that if let's say I was in the bar, okay, I was outside the bar, let's say, and David was in the bar blowing, and I only heard part of it, but you heard the whole thing, I'd be yotzei. I believe that's what he's saying. Let's read inside again. V'yesh Mepharshim. Let's put it this way. If you hold the mitzvah to blow, it does make sense, actually. Right?
You blew and heard the
whole thing. I only heard part of it. I didn't even hear 9 shemitin. I think the Ritz is saying there's an opinion, says Yosef.
It's like the guy who hears it is being mowed to you.
Through the tekiah.
Through hearing it.
That's right. Even though I don't hear the whole thing.
Right.
Let's read the ritual again. Make sure if I'm making a mistake.
For you.
What?
I attempt
yeah, but I just point. The amazing thing is I didn't hear a sufficient shear. Let's read it again. Maybe, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. The Yesh Mepharshim, the Hashta Sarin, the Rava, the Machshir mixes tekiah. The Rava is Machshir, a partial tekiah. Kaven the Ida, David, Havi Shas Chiyuv Achrine. In other words, Shas meaning you, for you, you were blowing, you heard the whole 9 Shemitin. Afiu She'ein B'Masha Shama, me. I didn't hear kashir. He hain the mixed tekiah. That's what it means. That mixed tekiah is a gomer. Call it mixed kashir tekiah.
Right, but you only can call it a tekiah
because David heard it. Because David heard it, I'm yotzei my mitzvah. You can only say this pshat, assuming we're reading it correctly, if you hold a mitzvah tekiah. If you hold a mitzvah shemir to hear the shofar, there's no way you could possibly say it. Right? Okay.
And then this is the Ritva still at number 3?
Yeah.
So how does he know that the miktas refers to half of a 9 shemitim it would seem from the Gemara that mixtas refers to a full shear. In other words, when it says mixtas...
Right. Oh, well, the, wait, you say the Ritva, the Yesh Mefarshim. It's not the Ritva's opinion. It's okay. The Yesh Mefarshim.
But so the Yesh Mefarshim, right. How could the Yesh Mefarshim say that? I mean, it seems pretty clear from the Gemara that when it says mixtas before Amudah Shachar and mixtas after Amudah Shachar, that it means like...
Remember, before Amudah Shachar, well, not necessarily, they were, but before Amudah Shachar, nobody's Yotze.
Of course. Right. It sounds like when we're talking about the duration, how much of a Tekiah is before and after, it
right.
Seems like at least 9 before and at least 9 after. I mean, it would seem that from the Gemara, otherwise, uh-huh. How could you even have a Habamina that you'd be Yotze?
Okay. I'm not sure. I mean...
So in other words, then the Yesh Mefarshim is deriving from that very those very same words that you could have him hear Miktsas Tekiah.
Yeah.
Like mixes, I'm sorry, he says, she'em b'mashashama kashir. In other words, he's saying, he's basically taking what I would see was 9 before, 9 after, to be 4.5 before and 4.5 after.
Yeah.
Or something like
yeah,
that.
Exactly. That's
it seems like also maybe that it doesn't necessarily follow. But.
No, but why can't you take the Gemara to be that it's part before and part after?
Because then it wouldn't make any sense at all that you'd be Yotze. Uh-huh. You'd be Yotze at all. In other words, how could you blow half of a... half?
I hear what you're saying. Based on all the Amudah Shachar, I hear what you're saying. Okay, let's a few more minutes, guys. Is that it?
This clock is fast.
Yeah, so we'll try to finish at 9:15. So what time is it? 9:12. Okay, so a couple more minutes. So then the Gemara, by the way, just to skip around a little bit. The Gemara wanted to say that mitzvahs lavo henos nisna. Right? That was a big theme of our Gemara here. Right? So Rav Yehuda says the shofar of an olah. There's machlokes at first, but at the end, it's machlokes you're showing whether it actually is a machlokes or not. At the end of the day, we end up saying echad zeh v'echad zeh, both a shofar of the ola and a shofar of shlamim. There's no problem in the ila because mitzvahs lav lehenos nisna. Mitzvahs were not given for pleasure for enjoyment.
That whole thing troubled me a lot.
You're not the only one.
Because
you have to come this year in the morning.
If you follow this logic out, there could never be a case of a mitzvah that was without kavanah. Where the mitzvah that kavana would be
why?
Because what it says is that when a person does a mitzvah, he's not doing it for the enjoyment, right?
Right.
Right. But
you're
equating kavana to enjoyment.
Yeah, that's what I found. Yeah.
There was actually a discussion there about.
Oh, really?
He holds that the there's a whole discussion somewhere here over whether it's not the sound of the shofar doing the
clip,
but there's the idea of the mitzvah.
Yeah, why don't you Rashi for a minute? Labo henosnis was like smack on the middle of Chofches and Aleph. Labo henosnis nu Yisrael, right? Mitzvahs were not given to Klal Yisrael. Lios kiyumam lem hanah. Right, the purpose of mitzvahs were not to be given for enjoyment. El-ol, they were given for a burden out of Rehim, this new. Right? Well, what this means, I mean, we could darshan this.
Yeah.
I mean, the way we explained it is that...
Responsibility,
but in a way, you know, what's going on here? Like, it's making it sound like, you know, God's like this mean God, like, just gave us mitzvahs to give us a hard time. So I'm reminded of the... I've seen it written a couple of times that Salvechik talks about how one time a psychologist said to him, and you're on the run, and we dive in, right? Psychologist, right? So Jews are dominating, they should fear, like, be afraid? Like, fear is a terrible thing. So the Rav responded to him was that the natural behavior of man is to fear something. People are always paranoid, have certain fears. A person's always worried. It's just part of the human experience.
How you train a child.
Right? What?
You see that by how you train a child. The first thing you teach a child is to be afraid of.
Okay, good.
Right.
It's just the natural condition, right? You're always worried. You always got something on your mind. You always got some concern, right? So this person is a hypochondriac. This person's trying to keep up with the Joneses. The greatest gift is if you're able to channel your fears for productive things, right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us a matana. He's giving us a skill. He's saying, I created man to fear. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to give them the fear. I'm going to give them the constant burden. Am I performing this mitzvah in a timely manner? Am I doing this mitzvah correctly? Am I acting according to Shulchan Aruch? Looking at a macro level, it's a big skos. But each mitzvah individually is something that we're supposed to view as an ol, as a burden. right? We etc. Okay. Or maybe you could say that the fact that it's an ol is God's way of giving us chayr. Because it's an ol, that's what, right. So he gave us an ol. That because it's an ol and we perform the mitzvahs, we get more chayr. All right, either way, just wanted to, or the ritva, just is maybe a little bit of a lighter ritva. Source number 7. We'll just read it for a moment. Just two, three more minutes. Nakinan time is the whole lab hanah chashive. This is not considered hanah. The mitzvahs lab lehenos nisno perush. The alpha gav the ikas chayr mitzvahs. He goes, wait a second. What do you mean there's no hanah? We know that if a person performs mitzvahs, they're going to get rewarded. So that's enjoyment, right? He says b'hai alma. There is chayr mitzvahs b'hai alma. And in a footnote, it quotes the ritzvah in Sukkah that says that when a person does a mitzvah, they get chayr in olam hazah and in olam haba. Okay. Nevertheless, ein hanah he. That's not a direct hana. In other words, when we say hana, it means direct. Here, it's as a result of. In other words, the hana we're going to get is as a result of the mitzvah. But when I shake the lulav, I'm not enjoying shaking the lulav. Because I shook the lulav, hopefully I win the lottery tomorrow, right? Maybe not. But that's the pshat. Right? Okay, that's just a point. I bring this ritual, first of all, it's kind of a cute ritual, but also he's saying something very hashkafically that's not... It is controversial. The ritzel seems to hold that there's schar in olam haz and olam haba. I direct you, we're not going to read inside, but I direct you to source number 9. Source number 9 is the famous Shitas HaRambam in Hilchos Teshuva that basically holds there is no schar in olam haz. And it happens about a week, comes up again, it's this week's parasha, Vayom Shama, right? Parasha Zekev. Right? The Torah tells us, v'nasati mitar etzlechem, if you're good, I'll give you wealth, and give you rain, give you, right? If you're not good, I'm going to punish you. So what's the pshat? The Rambam addresses it. The Rambam says it's not schar. All schar is focused on olam haba. But basically what all these, when the Torah talks about schar v'onesh, not schar v'onesh, what it's doing is the Torah is saying, your ultimate goal is to learn Torah to serve Hashem. If you behave, I'm going to create the conditions and the circumstances where life is easier for you. Right? So I'm going to make parnasa easier for you. This way, it enables you to be able to perform the mitzvahs and the avos Hashem, which will enable you to get more schar. And the inverse is the same. Whereas if you don't behave, because Baruch is going to give you poverty and make you have to work and give you a recession, therefore you can have less time to learn Torah and to do mitzvahs. But the Rambam rejects the concept of schar in this world. It's all in olam haba. So once this has been discussed before, but here you see another point where the Ritva clearly says there's schar in olam haza. And just to reference the Rambam, says there is no schar in olam haza. Okay, the last point, just a cute little interesting thing. At the bottom of Ches Amud Aleph, the Gemara discusses, because we have to touch on Mitzvah Srichas Kavana or not. I mean, that's one of the huge sugyas, right? The Gemara says Mitzvah Srichas Kavana, and the Gemara says, Pshita, right? Basically, the Gemara goes back and forth. There's a case of if you were forced to eat matzah. Before it's the Masa, you're Yose. Okay? So then the Gemara says, also, Rava says, also Maris, based on that, Hatukayashiyasa. Let's say on Rosh Hashanah morning, I get up, I want to play my musical instrument, the shofar. I should be Yose. Right? Even though I have no kavanah to do it for the mitzvah. The Gemara says, Pshita, obviously, if you're forced to eat Masa, and you need to do it for the mitzvah, Yose. So obviously, if I'm Hatukayashir Yose. The Gemara says, Mal Desema, saying the last line, Hasam Ochel Masam Rachmano. By Masa, all it says is eat Masa. V'halcha, and you're mekayim your mitzvah, right? So you ate it, good. V'halcha, zichron shrua, k'siv. V'haim es asik ba'almu. But maybe the word zichron shrua tells us you need some sort of a remembrance. You need some sort of a, you need to be cognizant of what you're doing. In other words, basically, the kamashmo, we don't say that, but the havmi in the Gemara is that the mitzvah of shofar should be different than all other mitzvahs. Most mitzvahs, it's just a maita. But when it comes to shofar, the havmi of the Gemara was there should be some sort of a zichron shrua. Okay? Kamashma, we don't say that. It seems to be like all other mitzvahs. Now, when I read this Gemara, I was reminded of an interesting story. Get back to someone mentioned Ramosha Salvation before, so we'll tell a story about him. He was the Rav in Brisk. I think it was in Brisk, or maybe in, I remember what it was. He was a Rav somewhere, and there were a lot of Hasidim there also. So he was the Rav of the Shul, and the Baal Tokei, I think it was the Lubavitcher. So Baal Tokei gets up there, and he makes the bracha, right? He makes a lot of kavana, you know, a lot of kavana. Shmuel Kol Shofar. Very nice, beautiful. So supposedly, Ramosha Salvation came over to him, and I don't know if he scolded him, but he said to him, he goes, when you shake a lulav, do you make a bracha like that? When you eat matzah, do you make a bracha like that? No. So why are you making a bracha like this when you blow the shofar? Right? So the question is, and who's right? It's interesting. Ashkafik Shailu. In other words, to have such kavanas when you blow the shofar, Moshe, I guess it bothered him. Like, why would you treat the different than a mitzvah? So I think, in a way, this is the Havamim and Maskana. The Havamim is like this Chassidish of Baal Tarkeya. That shofar is different. Shtei Zichron Trua. But Kamash Malah, Moshe's Alech is right. You treat it like all their mitzvahs, and therefore, if you make a bracha like that and you shake the loaf, great. But if you don't, you shouldn't treat shofar any differently. Okay. Just go ahead.